I'm Andrew Green, and this is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick, the edition of the podcast where Jacob Holmes and I talk about the new movies playing any given weekend at the cinema. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we've got two new movies opening up here at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this week. I think one of them seems more high profile than the other, but I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. I think it could go either way with this one. There's no awards season expansions or what have you. It's just two brand new 2020 movies. So, I don't know. Let's just go alphabetical and start. We'll start alphabetical. Both movies start with the word "the."
All right.
So let's go with The Gentleman.
The Gentleman. Now this is a
Guy Ritchie.
Right. So this is kind of an action comedy kind of thing.
Right. It's kind of a throwback to his earlier movies such as Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. Mm-hmm. Kind of a crime comedy action movie.
All right. Do we know what I've gotten this trailer a lot, but I still haven't been able to quite tell what the plot is.
I haven't gotten this trailer at all.
Oh, you haven't?
No. I had to look up a brief little plot synopsis today just to know what this movie's about. The other notable thing about this movie is it's got a pretty all-star cast.
It does. I see,
Matthew McConaughey is the main character.
Right. And I think I saw Colin Farrell over there.
Colin Farrell's in it. Henry Golding is in it.
Who else we got here? Michelle Dougherty.
I know there's at least one more.
Hugh Grant.
Yes, Hugh Grant.
There you go. All right, so what is the plot?
I think Matthew McConaughey plays this American expatriate who he lives in London and has set up a marijuana business in London.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tries to retire and get out of the business, a lot of people come after him wanting the fortune that he's amassed.
Okay, so
that's pretty much the gist of it.
Right, the IMDb says a British drug lord tries to sell out of his highly profitable business empire to a dynasty of Oklahoma billionaires. And, the trailer for this one, I see a lot of guns, a lot of Matthew McConaughey being threatening, sort of. I see people getting thrown into trunks. So it's sort of like a comedy as well.
Right, yeah, like I said, it's an action comedy, which is pretty par for the course for most Guy Ritchie movies.
Right, do we have much critical reaction to this film?
It's getting fairly decent reaction. It's sitting in the solid 70s on Rotten Tomatoes, and which I think is kind of a step up for Guy Ritchie movies lately. His last movie, less than a year ago, was the Aladdin remake for Disney.
Okay.
I'm kind of curious what the timeline of making both of those movies for him was. It had to be very, very close together.
I had forgotten about that.
Really?
That he was involved in that? It was kind of strange, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, it was a little strange. I could see why they got him to do it because, Aladdin is an action comedy.
Okay.
Guy Ritchie also, I don't think he had any, he might have co-written the Aladdin remake, and by co-write I mean copied it, hit control, the control C, control V on the original Aladdin script.
Right.
But he actually solo wrote this movie as well.
Oh, did he? Okay.
So it's written and directed by Guy Ritchie. Again, not that uncommon. He's also written a lot of his own stuff.
Right. I see you remember the Man from U.N.C.L.E. in 2015?
Yeah, I forgot that he did that movie too.
Right. He also wrote that one. I'm looking at his filmography here. There's a lot of films.
In the last 10 or so years, he came mostly prominent for the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies.
Right, and then there's...
They keep saying they're going to make a third one of those.
Do they?
I kind of wanted them to. I only saw each of those movies once, but I remember seeing the second one in the theater, and it based itself a lot off of the final Sherlock Holmes story, but it left itself open for a third one, and I'm like, I kind of hope they make a third one, but I could take it or leave it at this point. It's been a very long time since that movie.
We should have gotten that instead of Doolittle. But I do see, I'm looking at Guy Ritchie. I forgot he had that King Arthur movie a couple years ago.
Oh, geez. The King Arthur movie that Warner Brothers threw a whole bunch of money at and were hoping it was going to make a big old franchise, and it, didn't even crack $50 million globally at the box office.
We can talk a little more about that in a few minutes. But yes, that one. And let's not forget Guy Ritchie's crowning achievement, Swept Away from 2002.
I'm a little young for that one, but I have looked that up, and didn't it get like a bunch of Razzies? And
oh yeah, it was a disaster when it came out. It was, you know, Madonna starred in it, and right. I think he was married to her at the time.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So yeah, it was not well received. I never saw it. I should check that out anyway.
Just curiosity factor.
But you know, the gentleman seems like something that's more in his natural wheelhouse, kind of.
Right. Again, kind of a throwback to his earlier stuff.
So it could be all right, and you know, decent enough.
Yeah, if you're just wanting a fun kind of turn your brain off action comedy, you can't do a whole lot worse than this.
Right. So there you go.
Although I'm curious how this will stack up. It sounds like big competition for last week's Bad Boys for Life, which was number one at the box office. Because they're both kind of similar. Bad Boys is an action comedy series as well.
Right.
So I'm curious how this will do against Bad Boys in its second weekend.
You know, that's a good point, because Bad Boys did do quite well this past weekend. Anyway, so, you know, you've got The Gentleman as an option for you. It's an R-rated action sort of comedy.
Is it R-rated?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I didn't know that.
According to CelebrationCinema.com. Now, our other new option this weekend is a horror film.
It's another January horror movie.
It's a January horror film. It takes place in a haunted house, I understand. This is The Turning?
This is The Turning. Now, this is a movie I've gotten the trailer for a ton of times.
Okay.
I actually got it when we saw 1917 last weekend.
Interesting.
Because they're both Universal movies.
You know, I think I have gotten this trailer, but I darned if I can remember anything about it. It's like a ghost.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's there's a little girl and there's a ghost in the house.
So the story of The Turning, first off, this is actually an adaptation of an over 100-year-old short story called The Turn of the Screw.
Okay.
And the plot of both this movie and the short story was a nanny is hired to take care of two children, and throughout the times that she's taking care of the children, she becomes more and more convinced that that the house that she's living in is haunted, and there's some sinister goings on.
Does this take place in the UK? It looks kind of like it.
I don't think so, because this movie has Finn Wolfhard as one of the kids. I say kids, but he's like a teenager now, and even in this movie, he's presented as a teen. I don't think so, because
right.
I cannot see Finn Wolfhard playing a British child. But Mackenzie Davis is in this movie. She's the nanny in question.
Right.
And so yeah, so she starts watching these kids, and they both act very, very strange. Finn Wolfhard in particular seems very antagonistic towards her.
Mm-hmm.
And they just occur that she just witnesses all these weird kind of unsettling things happening, and she, you know, becomes more and more convinced that the house is haunted.
Right. As
and
I
something
sit-
bad happened to the kids' previous caretakers.
That's right. Now, as I sit here looking at the trailer playing, yes, I remember this more now. I don't know. Do we have any buzz yet for The Turning?
No, there are no critic reviews yet as of this recording. It is worth mentioning that this movie has been in development for almost 4 years, and it was actually produced by Amblin, Steven Spielberg's production company. So Steven Spielberg's name is actually on this movie as an executive producer. But this was apparently a passion project for him.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to get back into being involved with horror movies, because he was involved with movies like Poltergeist. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Right.
Jaws,
you know.
Well, Jaws, yeah. But yeah, if you count Jaws as a horror movie, I really don't. But paranormal, spooky, like bone-chilling kind of tales.
So that's, you know, that's something in its favor.
Right, yeah, it's got Steven Spielberg attached to it, but it apparently had a troubled production because they originally went with one director, were calling it a different title. They didn't like the way it was going. They kind of scrapped it and got a new director, got the current version we've got. It was supposed to come out last year, actually.
Okay.
Almost about this time last year. But they took it off of the release schedule and gave that to the third How to Train Your Dragon movie, which came out in February of 2019. And that gives you an idea of how long ago this movie was originally supposed to come out.
All right.
And now they're just kind of like, put it in January. So that's the only thing that's got me kind of about it.
You know, looking at the trailer, it reminds me sort of the Hammer films.
Yeah, it does kind of have a Hammer look to it. And there was... kind of, there. You remember the Woman in Black with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes.
From several years ago? That was an actual Hammer production.
Right, and there was another one I saw.
And I think that was a January release, too.
Was it?
Yeah.
There was another Hammer film I saw a few years ago. It was a haunted house situation as
you
well.
You never think about it, but Hammer, I think they're still around.
They are. I mean, what was the one that I saw not too long ago? I'm trying to figure that out. No, they're still making movies. I just...
But no, that's a very good point. I never clicked with me, but looking back at the trailer, like, yeah, I am getting kind of some modern Hammer vibes from this. So it could be all right. It could be, you know what? I'm hoping that it's at least above average.
I found a list of all of Hammer's films. What was the one? The Quiet Ones was the one that I saw back in 2014.
I'm not familiar with that one. I know A Quiet Place.
Right.
I'm excited for A Quiet Place Part 2.
Right. That trailer came out not too long ago, right?
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. But you know, right here, right now, this is the turning. And, you know, I just said that I'm hoping that it's above average. That's because I'm actually going to go see this movie. My girlfriend wants to see it,
well,
so therefore I am going to see it.
Maybe I'll see you there, because there's a strong chance I'll be there this weekend. You know, but I've gotten about as caught up on the Oscar films as I think I can for now. So, yeah.
I was telling you shortly before we went on the air that, or before we started recording, that Parasite, I think, is going to come to DVD next week. So, and I think Universal is releasing that, the DVD of that. So it'll probably be in a red box.
That is, there are two Oscar Best Picture nominees that I've yet to see, Ford versus Ferrari and Parasite.
I've yet to see Ford versus Ferrari, Parasite, and The Irishman, I know for sure. There may have been one more that I missed, but I can't think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. I know I saw Jojo Rabbit.
Okay.
I have seen Marriage Story. I finally saw 1917.
Okay.
I've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Seen Little Women.
Did you see Joker?
Yes, I saw Joker.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything here.
All right, so it's just those three, Parasite, Irishman, and Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah.
Still need to just really hunker down and devote 3.5 hours to The Irishman.
You could just watch it over the course of like 3 nights.
I don't want to do that, though. That feels wrong.
That was how I watched Dolomite Is My Name over 2 nights, actually. But by the way, I loved that film, but we'll...
I know, I need to... I've been meaning to check that one out.
All right, so, you know, but as far as what's opening this weekend at Celebration Cinema, you know, we got The Turning here, and we got The Gentleman, and those are our options.
Yeah, I really don't know how to... the only solid recommendation I can make right now is The Gentleman, because I know at least what critics are saying about it, and the fact that it's probably, you know, a perfectly average or above average movie for what it is.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we can't really say if
The Turning is any good or not, because nobody has seen it to tell us about that.
Nobody has seen it. But, you know, you should know whether you'd rather see a haunted house movie or the Guy Ritchie action comedy.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are our two options. Looking at everything else that's playing at our Celebration Cinema here in Benton Harbor this weekend, you know, 1917 is still playing, and you saw that this weekend.
I saw that. I saw it with my family and my girlfriend. We all loved it. We all thought it was very, very well done.
Great. I mean, what'd you think about it? Any thoughts come to mind that you want to point out?
I think I absolutely now can confirm that I think Roger Deakins should win the cinematography Oscar for the movie.
Oh yeah,
it was beautifully shot. I think Sam Mendes is a lock for director, because, oh my gosh, the amount of work to make sure everything, because you know, if you're not familiar, the movie, or if you haven't seen it yet, the movie is presented in a series of just several very long continuous takes, no break, no cuts. At least, you know, you can tell there's some where they can made some, you know, some of the major cuts,
right?
But it's presented as if, like, at least two halves of the movie are presented as if it's like one continuous take.
Right, and we follow this
group, these two British soldiers in World War I who are trying to travel to a battalion to stop them from attacking, because they figured out the Germans' plan to kind of lure them into lure them into an ambush.
Right, right. And you know, I tried not to spoil the film for you when I told you about it.
I had a feeling watching the movie what was going to happen.
Okay.
And so I wasn't really surprised, but I still felt bad because the acting was still really good. Gosh, the makeup of that scene was done really well too. My mom is a nurse, so she was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, they got that right."
Okay. Great. Well, you know, 1917 is recommended by one and all. It's one of the front runners for Best Picture. I don't know if we want to get into our predictions.
I mean, I've already got my predictions. So I think it should win production design. It's up for production design. I think it should win it because just the scene very early on when they're crossing no man's land and just seeing like all the devastation devastation of the area and just the remnants of the battles before was like, oh my gosh, that was incredible.
Did the jump scares in the trenches get you when they go into that German underground area?
Oh, early in the movie? I jumped a few times just because it was loud.
Okay.
Or like
the rat scared
me. Yeah, the rat dropping the little pouches and then activating a tripwire.
Yeah, that got me. I almost spilled my popcorn. Anyway, so 1917 is playing. That is recommended. Bad Boys for Life is playing. That did quite well this
weekend. Yeah, it was number one in the box office. No surprise there. And far and away the best reviewed Bad Boys movie in the trilogy.
Right.
Apparently, Michael Bay did actually direct one scene in that movie.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what scene it was. I haven't seen it. But I just saw a headline said Michael Bay actually directed a scene in Bad Boys for Life. And you can tell which one it is. I'm like, oh, yeah, I bet you can.
Okay, well, it opened up to $62 million, and they already announced, all right, there's going to be a fourth one.
They already did?
Yeah.
I thought it made like $70 million, because if they were counting the Martin Luther King holiday on Monday.
Oh, if they did? I'm looking at just January 17th through the 19th.
Yeah, that's a 3-day. I think with the Monday holiday, it was over $70 million.
Okay.
So yeah, good news for Bad Boys for Life.
Good news for Will Smith.
Yeah, good news for Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It's been a while since he's been in a major movie.
Right. And you know, speaking of films that didn't do so well this weekend, Doolittle is still playing.
Yeah, it was like number two at the box office, surprisingly, but it only made like $30 million, and its budget was at least $175 million. Hmm. So, yeah, an opening of $30 million with that kind of budget is pretty, that, you know, number two at the box office. But, yeah, when you think about how much it costs to make the movie, yeah, that does not spell good times for our pals Universal.
You know, I almost saw Doolittle because I watched the review for it on YouTube last week. It was midnight screenings.
Right, yeah.
And the way that the film was described made it sound so bizarrely wrong that I wanted to see it. And the quote that was used in the review was, Universal took a giant pile of money and set it on fire.
Yep. You could argue they did that too with Cats. That almost cost $100 million.
Well, with Cats, I could see if the film had turned out good, I can see how it would have been worth what
they
spent.
There's no way a movie of Cats turns out good.
Right, but you know,
Cats, the Broadway musical.
But even if Doolittle had turned out good, I would have said, you know, $175 million for a Doolittle movie? That seems like...
Right, I mean, I imagine Robert Downey Jr.'s paycheck was a noticeable fraction of that budget.
Right.
But I think the month of reshoots really, I think, added to that.
I've got to see it because I you know, you told me this last week, but I heard when you watch the film, there'll be a scene, you know, where like there's a polar bear off in the water somewhere. And then the next shot, the polar bear standing there next to, you know, Dr. Doolittle.
It's like, how'd you get there?
Weird editing mix-up.
Like they forgot to shoot some transition
right
in between scenes. But I've heard this movie mostly described as like not like Cats, where Cats was kind of funny bad, and you're just in awe of how just like how monstrous this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that Doolittle is bad and that it's just very, very dull and boring.
Well, you know, I still might see it if I go to the movies twice this weekend. You know, it'll be The Turning and Doolittle.
Either way, Universal gets your money.
Have you noticed the look on Robert Downey Jr.'s face in the poster?
Oh my gosh.
He looks like...
Well, it's because like all the animals are supposed to be like, you know, sassy comic relief.
Yeah, and he just looks kind of like, I don't know, like he's resigned to the fact that he's here. Anyway, so Doolittle is still playing if you want to see that. Join me for Doolittle this weekend. Also playing is Jumanji, The Next Level. That's
still solid.
Yeah, it is. What is it? Still at number four this past weekend. Just Mercy is playing. Oh, that's another one, you know, if I want to see something good this weekend.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I didn't get a chance to see that. I haven't got a chance to see this movie, and unfortunately, I mean, it didn't get any Oscar nominations, and so the priority list is its place on the priority list is a little lower, but I do really want to check out this movie because it sounds like a very powerful story, and I like the actors involved. I like Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, and Brie Larson, and mm-hmm. They all give, Jamie Foxx especially, really, really great performances.
And it's still sitting at 99% audience score.
Yeah, it's one of the most well-liked movies from 2019.
So there you go. Well, maybe I'll have a change of heart and skip Doolittle and see Just Mercy, or maybe I'll skip The Turning. I don't know. Yeah, I've got plenty of options this weekend. Knives Out is still playing, which is great.
Yeah, still holding strong. It's had very, very good legs since opening up all the way back at Thanksgiving.
And it's got three showtimes each day this weekend, so it's doing well. And by the way, earlier this week, my top 10 of 2019 flick pick episode posted. I gave the number one spot to Knives Out.
I'm not surprised by that. I don't know how I would place my top 10 2019 movies that I've seen so far. Not counting the Oscar nominated movies that I haven't seen. But Knives Out would definitely be, it would absolutely be in my top five for sure. Probably even top three.
Excellent film. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Like a Boss is still playing this weekend.
When I was at home this past weekend, we were watching TV and there was a TV spot for this movie. And my mom was just asked, why do these stars like Rose Byrne or Tiffany Haddish, or Selma Hayek even, mm-hmm. why do they decide to make a movie like that? And I'm just like, they probably got a good paycheck and they probably had fun on the set.
Probably, yeah. But it's available if you want to see it, you know. Little Women is still playing. That's a great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Fantastic. Let's see. It still has three showtimes each day. So that's
there's
good.
There's a lot. The real estate is getting a little more cramped at the movies.
Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker is still out. That's certainly an option.
It's lost its place as the top of the box office, but you know, still made $1 billion. So you know, Disney's not going to complain.
Right. The Gentleman opens up, as mentioned. The Turning opens up, as mentioned. And Underwater is still playing. I kind of had forgotten about that one.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one, too. But apparently it's, you know, not horrible for a January release. It was kind of shifted into, you know, shoved into, you know, the January market. Probably the last movie you'll ever see with the 20th Century, the 20th Century Fox logo.
That's right.
Because Disney is rebranding it. They're taking Fox out of 20th Century Fox and Fox Searchlight. Mm-hmm. And they're just taking the name out of it. So it's going to be 20th Century Studios and Searchlight Studios, which at least they're not getting rid of Searchlight. We were kind of worried about that.
Right. When I heard they had dropped the Fox name, I was like, what about Searchlight? I'm just glad it's still around.
Yeah, because it wasn't long after they got Fox that they closed down Fox 2000.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's your weekend box office. Those are your options. I mean, if you had to think about anything playing at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor at all, what would you recommend?
Oh, geez. Go see 1917. If you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, you know, there's plenty of great ones. 1917, we got Little Women, we got Knives Out.
Knives Out, if for some reason you haven't seen that yet.
There's some solid choices, so it's a good time to go to the movies. Now, in the past week, you know, since we last spoke, you saw 1917. I saw Jojo Rabbit last weekend.
Oh, what'd you think?
I thought it was quite good. It's, you know, it's a charming movie. The kid who stars in it's quite good in this film, as you know.
Right. I saw it way back in, I think it was November I saw it.
Okay, yeah, but for anyone who doesn't know, Jojo Rabbit, the main character, is a 10-year-old boy. The film takes place in Nazi Germany. This kid is a member of the Hitler Youth. And, you know, he's gung-ho about it.
He's a fanatic, yeah.
Right, but, you know, he's a child, so. And he has an imaginary friend who is Hitler, played by the film's director.
And writer, Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. And, you know, there's bumbling Nazis in his town.
Oh, my gosh, I love Sam Rockwell in that movie.
So did I. And I love Sam Rockwell in anything. So, it's, you know, he's this funny, bumbling, I think he's supposed to be hungover most of the time.
Yeah, he's drunk. He's this drunk Nazi general that's, like, blind in one eye, who's been kind of, relegated to leading this Hitler Youth troop, and he just could not care less about it.
Right, and even Rebel Wilson wasn't annoying in the film. So
no, I still argue argue that she wasn't really necessary because her character didn't really do a whole lot.
That's true. You know, the guy from Game of Thrones, Theon.
Yes.
What's the actor's name?
Oh, I feel bad. I forget his name.
I will find out. I spent the entire movie looking at that guy saying, where have I seen him before?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have his Theon facial hair, I think. I think he was clean shaven for this.
Yes. What is the guy's name? Alfie Allen?
Yes, Alfie Allen.
The whole movie, I was trying to place him. Yeah, it was Theon from Game of Thrones.
He's kind of like Sam Rockwell's lackey.
Right. That guy could have done what Rebel Wilson was doing. Probably.
But, I mean, Rebel Wilson did have one really funny moment towards the end of the movie.
When the U.S. invasion is taking place?
Yes.
Yes. That was great when the U.S. starts taking over the town. Anyway.
The girl who played the... what did you think of Scarlett Johansson in the movie as his mother?
She was great. I liked her a lot. What'd you think?
I really liked her too. I think there was an emotional scene involving her character that none of my friends saw coming.
Me neither.
But it was set up really. I think it was set up very, really, really expertly.
Now, in the film, our main character finds out his mother, Scarlett Johansson, is hiding a Jewish girl in their home.
Right, who is a friend of his sister's. His sister had died years previous.
And the actress who played the Jewish girl was
Thomasin McKenzie.
She was very good too.
Yeah,
I thought
she was great. And I think the heart of the movie is really the relationship between her and Jojo, the boy. Is he kind of as she kind of like, you know, changes his mind about,
right.
He comes to learn like, oh, all this Hitler stuff is wrong.
Right. And, you know,
and I think I've said this way back when I talked about the movie after I saw it in our podcast, but it's a PG-13 movie, but it has the absolute best use of the you're allowed one F word per PG-13 I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, the specific line that the kid says is one that we can all agree with. So, it was a great movie. It's, sort of a coming of age movie in a way.
Oh, absolutely a coming of age movie.
I thought it was a really nice moment when the kid, early in the film, he is told he'll know he's in love. He feels butterflies in his stomach.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, he's thinking about the girl that his mother's hiding, and the camera pans down to his stomach, and you see like butterflies. I don't know. That was just a nice moment.
A lot of people, when the trailer came out, a lot of people were like, is this secretly a Wes Anderson movie? It does kind of feel like that sometimes.
It does. It does. Taika Waititi has a bit of that. Has he ever made a feature-length film besides this one?
Oh, absolutely. He's made he made Thor Ragnarok, the third Thor movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's also making the fourth one coming out a year and a half from now. He also did this... he's done a couple movies.
He's doing the... Oh, he's. I'm looking at his actor credits here. What else has he done?
He did the mockumentary movie, What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay, I remember that.
Which I highly recommend that movie. It's absolutely hilarious.
Okay. So, yeah, he's got some credits. He's from New Zealand.
Yep.
I did not know that until after I saw Jojo Rabbit.
I actually saw one of my friends who I actually saw the movie with, he is from New Zealand.
Oh, is Taika Waititi huge there?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty famous there. I mean, anybody who comes out of New Zealand and makes it big overseas, you know, they're pretty popular. You know, you got your Peter Jacksons and now, you know, Taika Waititi.
Right, they're happy if they're just included on world maps. So,
wait,
yes.
Are they not sometimes?
Sometimes they're not,
wow,
amazingly.
That's messed up.
One of my favorite subreddits is about maps, and there's a joke, an ongoing joke there about maps that lack New Zealand. Anyway, it's Jojo Rabbit. We both recommend it. It was a lovely film.
Yeah, very, very charming, very entertaining, very funny movie.
I also saw Dolomite Is My Name. Now, that's not an Oscar nominee, but really quick,
It was nominated for several Golden Globes, though, or at least a couple. Eddie Murphy was nominated for Best Actor, the musical comedy.
Yes, and it's, you know, it's a shame he wasn't nominated for Best Actor, because Dolomite Is My Name was a great movie. I loved it. It was hilarious. I wanted to be in its world, you know.
Where do you rank it as far as like Eddie Murphy movie performances? Because everyone's saying like he's gonna have a big comeback. Because on top of this, he came back and hosted Saturday Night Live, which was just a massive success in my opinion.
He was back in top form in this film. I remember he was in Dreamgirls. He was really good in that. And what was that, 2008 or something?
2006, yeah. Other than that, there was like the Shrek movies.
I never saw those.
The first two were good. He was in Mulan as the voice of Mushu the Dragon, who will not be in the live-action remake coming out this year.
Okay, well...
And it's not a musical either, because China doesn't like both of those things.
Well, that's good to know. But yeah, you know, this was a definite return to form for Eddie Murphy. By the way, Dolomite Is My Name was written by the same guys who wrote Ed Wood, my favorite film.
Really? I did not know that.
And if you think about it,
that makes sense.
They're kind of similar.
It makes sense, yeah.
So yes, check out Dolomite Is My Name if you haven't yet and you have a Netflix account. Yeah, so I mean, that's what we've seen recently that's just playing.
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums everything up for this week.
Anything else you want to add?
No, other than we lost Frozen 2 from Celebration.
Oh.
But it was announced like yesterday. The Disney announced like the release date of the DVD release, and it's the week of my birthday. So I'm like, all right, I can get behind that.
All right, you'll probably be receiving that, you think?
Yes.
All right.
Or I might just get it for myself. Who knows?
Why not? All
happy
right. Well,
birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you. And yeah, that should do it for this edition of Flick Pick. I'll be back tomorrow with a Flick Pick review of Jojo Rabbit.